Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug. Oh, man, that was fun.
Oh, that was fun.
That was really fun.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed that.
I thoroughly enjoyed that beatdown.
It was an entertaining evening. One, Sharks played great. Two, they beat down the Dallas Stars, who had it coming.
Yeah.
As you might say, dude. It was just a good night all around, a good night all around for San Jose Sharks fans. The Sharks win 6-0 in a laugher at the Tank. And now as we sit, the Sharks are the number 2 seed, dude. As we go into the home stretch of games here, the Sharks only have 5 games left.
Right.
Cinco.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, cinco games. How you feeling at this moment? Euphoric?
I'm feeling pretty good. They clinched the playoffs. That's not something to take lightly, especially where they were sitting at the bottom of the division in that terrible stretch in January. And now they're at the top of the division. What do they have, 4 points on Phoenix?
Yeah, 4 points on Phoenix at this moment. And, I mean, talk about who's your daddy.
Yeah.
I mean, we sort of own Phoenix. Do they have a shot to get even with us? I guess, but you know, even if they won the last 2 games, and we still have the edge on them in overall wins, which is the tiebreaker, I do believe.
I think so.
So it's looking pretty good, unless the Sharks go completely in the dumper.
Right.
That they're going to have another one of those fantastic Pacific Division banners, dude. We love those.
Yeah, great.
Western Conference regular season champions.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Kind of make you feel real good.
That really turned out wonderful.
Well, you know what? We'll take it.
Yes, of course we will.
Nashville doesn't have one of those.
No. No,
they don't.
They have a bunch of first round of the playoffs loss banners, I believe.
Dude, talk to me about the game tonight. What stood out to you as being especially exceptional?
Well, the funny thing is that I was sort of thinking maybe in the late second period that this is sort of how I expected Dallas to be all year. Right. I mean, I picked Dallas to miss the playoffs. It looks like I'm going to end up being right just by a little bit, though. I certainly didn't expect this. I mean, Dallas was holding on to the 8th spot. They were leading the Pacific Division for a decent part of the year. I certainly didn't call this particular outcome. I thought they just weren't going to be very good. And tonight they weren't very good. And they pulled Kari Lehtinen. I guess I can understand why they wanted to pull it. Maybe throw a little something into the team and get them thinking about it, but I didn't really feel like most of those goals were his fault. So it just seemed like superior firepower by the mm-hmm. Sharks to me. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like and Brad Richards was in the lineup. I mean, they weren't missing really anybody. I mean, Carlos Scrashtons. I mean, they weren't, who cares?
Yeah, you didn't really notice their star players tonight, except for when Mike Ribeiro was laying on the ground after Douglas Murray continuously hit him.
Yes.
The Dallas Stars were fairly punchless tonight.
Yeah, and they were.
You got to figure emotionally they were going to be up for this game after, you know, blowing it at home against the Sharks a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And they came out. They had a couple good possessions in the first few shifts.
Yeah, they did.
And then, you know, once Dan Boyle scored that first goal, was all San Jose Sharks from there on out. We didn't even see a fight or anything.
I mean,
I really thought that the Stars, once it got to 2-0, I was looking and going, okay, when is Bartsch going to go with Eager here? Or mm-hmm. when is Steve Ott going to pick a fight with Jamal Mares? Like,
right.
I was waiting for that, and it never happened. And I can't tell, you know, if Dallas, you know, they're in a major slide. 2-4-4 in their last 10.
Wow, nasty.
So, and I don't even know if that includes tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be even worse than that.
Yeah.
So with 6 games left this weekend, I thought Dallas was going to make the playoffs.
Right.
I'm thinking definitely not.
We talked about this last week, right? I mean, we thought Dallas is going to make it.
And now they're going to be in LA on Saturday and in Anaheim on Sunday. And I think by the time that weekend is over, they're going to be done.
Yeah.
Unless they're able to pull their head out pretty quickly. It's not looking good for Dallas. And it's got to be fairly disappointing for a team that was leading the Pacific Division very early, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Not that long ago. And as you said, it seemed to me there was going to be some physical fireworks. It seemed like there were from the Sharks' perspective, but I mean,
Do you remember a big hit from Dallas?
No. There was a lot of talking going on between Ott and Heatley and Ott and Klo, and they would get a little bit wrapped up and then nothing would really happen. But I mean, Vallin hit Ott several times. We talked about Murray putting down Ribeiro, which, you know, always makes me very happy. I definitely hate Mike Ribeiro more than I hate Steve Ott.
Why do you hate Mike Ribeiro? I know why, but tell the listeners.
I just think he's like a little weasel, for one. And there was that famous incident in Montreal where he got hit and he faked an injury on the ice. He was sitting there holding his stomach or
something. You're saying he's the Greg Louganis of hockey?
Yes. And, you know, that is a cardinal sin in hockey. I can understand being a pest, and there's a long and storied and wonderful history of pests in the NHL, and the Sharks have certainly had their fair share. And so while Steve Ott, I certainly don't like him and the stuff that he does on the Dallas Stars, I understand that role and I respect it. I don't respect Mike Ribeiro really for any reason. I think he is a cheap guy. I think he shows up the other team. He's done some taunting kind of actions after scoring goals before that I think is really objectionable. And the whole faking the injury thing, I hate that guy. I really do. And I'm so happy when Murray paced him. You know, I'm just so glad. And I remember with Ribeiro and Ryder on the Montreal Canadiens, right? I mean, we remember those days when it was Ribeiro and Ryder, and really sort of neither of their careers has really gone probably as well as they had hoped. I mean, Ribeiro looked like he was maybe a number one top line guy on the Stars, but now he's been supplanted and it's Jamie Benn. And
I guess, I mean, you know, Mike Ribeiro still has 66 points.
Yeah.
I mean,
as much as I hate to admit it,
he's still pretty good. I mean, how many points does the Sharks leading scorer have?
I don't know.
Is it more than 66?
Well, Pavelski's already got 60. So I would say yes, without having, I'm surprised.
Not that much more.
No,
maybe.
You're right. Not that much more.
So, and he's just 2 years removed from having 78 points. I don't think Ribeiro's a bad player. It's just he's a jackass.
Yes.
You know, no one likes a faker.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
He's the Milli Vanilli of hockey.
And it's not like
he's
really
a pretender.
It's not like he backs it up with like physical stuff.
Nah.
Marlowe's got 64 points.
So, you know.
So he's actually got more points than anybody on the Sharks right now.
Mm. That doesn't wouldn't want him.
That doesn't make me happy at all. Thanks for bringing that up, dude.
Dude, we're
supposed to be in a good mood after this.
Dude, we're a way better team.
Okay.
Dude, come on. You're going to let that bring you down?
Just a little bit.
Let's talk about the things that made the Sharks so good tonight and the things that have us feeling really good as we're starting to roll into the playoffs. You look at how the Sharks are rolling four really tough lines right now. I enjoyed the Desjardins, Eager, Mayers line, which in a game that was getting out of hand once the third period rolled around, you know, though that line saw, you know, 10, 11 minutes tonight.
Let's have a look.
You know, Desjardins played 9.5.
Yep.
Eager played 10.5. Mayers played almost 13. You know, Mayers is getting time on the PK, but they were getting a pretty regular shift in that first period.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very effective, very effective. And we talked about on the way home going, gosh, you know, when Nickel comes back, how much fun is that fourth line going to be?
Nickel, Mayers, and Eager. That's going to be great.
Pretty trustworthy, too, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of guys who you can't snooze on them because they will burn you. I mean, they're pretty dangerous. They have some speed, good at face-offs. You got two guys on that line who can win a face-off, and all three of them will drop the gloves.
Yeah.
So that is the best fourth line we've seen in recent Sharks memory, correct?
Yeah, that's. I think that's for certain.
So
that's
would we certain. Say, as we look at just off the top of our heads, in the Pacific Division at least,
yeah,
is this, you know, the best fourth line in the Pacific Division? You look at who the Stars rolled out on their fourth line tonight in terms of minutes. It was Vancouver,
yeah,
Williams, and Barch. I don't think there's any question that, you know, the Sharks had a better fourth line than them. How about the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, who we're going to see? I'm so sorry. Just the Ducks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're not mighty anymore.
It's sort of like Prince and just the symbol. Yeah. It looks like Bielski.
Oh, yeah.
And George Parros, uh-huh, and Ruutu. Oh, Brad Winchester.
Yeah.
So I still would take our three guys over, mm-hmm, Winchester, Ruutu, and Parros.
Yep.
Correct?
As would I.
And, you know, I won't bore the listeners with trolling through everybody else's, but I think the point is well made in terms of Sharks are not going to be in a position this year in the playoffs where they're going to have to shorten the bench and ignore that fourth line because,
right,
they're unable to contribute. There is no Brad Staubitz this year.
That's true.
There is no Jody Shelley.
That's right. And, you know, case in point was Eager's goal tonight, which was really a beautiful, beautiful goal. It was a pass from, I believe, Jamal Mayers. That was behind Eager, who tipped it between his own legs to his backhand and scored. Really a pretty impressive display of skill. You know, a lot of NHL players have this kind of skill, and you forget it sometimes, but Ben Eager was a first-round draft pick. He's a good player. I mean, they didn't think he was just a tomato can when they drafted him in the first round, so maybe he didn't turn out to be a top-line guy, as unfortunately a lot of first-round players do. But he definitely showed some pretty good skill there, and I certainly don't remember any moves like that from Brad Staubitz.
No.
Not to put too fine a point on it.
Ben Eager, third star of the night tonight. Jamal Mayers, a two-point night. Danny Heatley, a two-point night. Patrick Marleau, two goals. Joe Thornton, a two-point night.
Mm-hmm.
Good night for the Sharks. Logan Couture getting, mm-hmm, another goal.
His
31st. Everybody talking about Jeff Skinner, you know, Jeff Skinner this, Jeff Skinner that. I'm not saying Jeff Skinner isn't a good player.
No, he's great.
He is. He is a good player. But I'm just getting tired, dude. I'm tired of reading about Jeff Skinner, and I feel like people, because they're not willing to stay up late enough and watch the San Jose Sharks, come on.
Right.
Logan Couture, Jeff Skinner scores two goals last night to help them, the Carolina Hurricanes, get a big win.
Right.
So then everyone's talking about Jeff Skinner. Well, how about Logan Couture with 3 points against Phoenix in a big win, a division rival win? No one talked about that.
Right.
How about that?
You tweeted James Mertle about it.
I did. Did I get a response, dude?
No, you didn't.
No.
Yeah.
Too good to respond to the dudes.
Yeah, that's right.
Too good. Too big.
Get in the hi-hat!
You know, people talk about the West Coast or East Coast bias, I suppose, and do you think that in the end this is going to come back to sting Logan Couture? Or let's just say, you know, their numbers end up pretty equal, all right? Which they are.
Right.
They really are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No chance.
No, he's got no chance?
No chance. Logan Couture has no chance to win the Calder this year.
No chance?
No chance. Unless he goes on like a massive tear and scores 10 goals in the last week. I mean, Grabner still
chance.
Has more goals, right?
Right, but
Grabner's still got more goals.
Yeah.
He's been playing, you know, but that's for the Islanders, but that's still East Coast. The thing, so Skinner's got two big advantages. One, well, at least two. One, he plays in the East Coast, which helps. Two, he's younger. He's 18. And I think people will see that as more impressive than Couture being a 20-year-old as a rookie. And three, Couture did play a few games last year for the Sharks. Not enough to count as a rookie, but this year, Skinner, I think this is legitimately Skinner's real year. So anyway, so I think those things will work against Logan Couture at the end of the day, and I can't see Couture winning the Calder Trophy as much as he may deserve it, which is unfortunate for him. But we've talked about this maybe in a few years back. It's actually not a bad thing for the Sharks if their players don't win trophies, because it means they can stick around for a little bit cheaper. So
disappointed.
Yeah.
Disappointed. Well, we're not saying it's never over till it's over, dude.
No, certainly not.
And Logan Couture certainly got a shot.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope he does.
Yeah, he does. So we've got good four lines rolling right now, dude. What do you think about the D? We talked about this. There was some mention that Nichols getting close to coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Some speculation that perhaps Huskins is, even though he was injured, maybe he's sort of being shelved
right
on IR, long-term IR, to get the extra salary cap relief. Would you agree that Kent Huskins has played his last game in teal? Unless, let's say, Nick Vallien meets up with
hamburgers,
Lorena Bobbitt. That's reaching way back. That's going way back.
Yeah,
that's good
timely reference there, dude.
That's a cutting reference.
Good times.
You know what I mean?
I think that's, you know, I remember you saying that during the game, and I didn't really think about that before, but I think you're right. I think there's a distinct possibility that Ken Huskins has played his final game already as a San Jose Shark, because Justin Braun was a scratch tonight. And if you come to the playoffs and it's a question between Braun and Huskins, do you choose Huskins? That's a tough call, given how well Braun has been playing. I don't think you can make that call, you know, and Braun certainly has a future in the organization, and it's looking right now like Huskins does not. So let's just be honest about it.
Has a more accurate statement been said on Tucson Hockey that Ken Huskins does not have a future in the Sharks organization.
Right. That's true.
I will eat that speaker if Ken Huskins is re-signed next year.
Yeah, that would be shock.
I'll eat it.
Absolute shock. So
that's the putting Ian White in for Ken Huskins.
Upgrade.
Huge.
Yeah.
And
dude.
huge upgrade.
Yeah.
And, you know, if people were looking for a giant point, you know, contribution from Ian White, well, you know, he has 7 assists in 17 games. Actually, he got another assist tonight, so that's 8. He's a plus 6 or 7. The guy's playing well. He blocks shots. You know, he's blocking over 2 shots a game as the San Jose Shark. He gets a little bit physical out there for guys a bit undersized. He gets at least 2 shots on goal a game.
Mm-hmm.
You notice him for the right reasons instead of Kent Huskins standing there as someone puts a puck in right in front of the net. What? What happened? What happened?
Well, there's one final question, one that we talked a little bit about on last week's podcast, and that's goaltending. Niemi has managed to raise his save percentage now to 917, which puts him, in my mind, in the category of very good.
Yeah.
I would say 920 is great, and 930 is pretty spectacular, and 940 is like Tim Thomas, get the F out of here.
Right.
But so Niemi is putting up really good numbers, and I think, you know, the only question is the one that we talked about briefly last week that we don't need to rehash here, which is, what's the deal with Nidamaki? Is he going to get another start here?
I still think he'll get one.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. I think he'll get one
of those Phoenix starts.
Yeah, because it seems like we have Phoenix's number, and he might play the first game against Phoenix. I'm still making that call. I'm still sticking to it. You got to get him out there. He's certainly looking fresh as a daisy on the bench chart and faceoffs or whatever he's doing. You see him coming back from the locker room, and he's looking a little bored, I got to be honest.
Yeah, not the perfect situation.
No.
But if you got a guy who's rolling as hot as Niemi in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
In the Western Conference, is there a hotter goalie than Antti Niemi in the Western Conference?
Well, I mean, Vancouver's doing well, so you got to put Luongo in the category.
Now, we all know what happens to him in the playoffs. Wah, wah. Congratulations to the Vancouver Canucks on winning the Kiss of Death.
Yeah.
We're very excited for you.
Yes.
Let's talk about Vancouver, dudes. We got a little extra time. We only have one game. Let's talk about the Canucks, okay? Dan Hamhuis out.
Right.
You don't like to see that happen to a guy like Dan Hamhuis. You know, several concussions now in his career.
Yeah.
And they're, from what I've read, not putting a timetable on his return.
Right.
He's a guy who was on the record before the season started talking about his concussion, saying that, you know, he has to think beyond hockey
mm-hmm.
and has to consider his family. Dan Hamhuis, possible we don't see him again this year?
Yeah, it's possible. Certainly possible. I mean, especially when we see a guy like Sidney Crosby out for 3 months, and he doesn't have any concussion history. So
right.
Certainly a guy with concussion history. We have no idea how severe the concussion is or what. I mean, we're purely speculating here. But yeah, I mean, given the uncertain nature of this particular injury or this type of injury, who knows when he could be back? I mean, the thing is, Canucks have pretty good depth on D. They have all year. They've had several defensemen banged up. Sammy Salo, Kevin Bieksa missing time. Of all the teams to lose a good defenseman like Dan Hamhuis, it's probably the Canucks who could withstand it the best.
I suppose so, you know, but as we're starting to look at who they're rolling out there right now, Ballard, Bieksa, Ehrhoff,
yeah.
Salo.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
That's good.
Okay, but that's not any different than what they've had, really, except for Ballard.
Right.
The last 2 years when they've exited at the hands of the Blackhawks.
True.
Okay?
Okay.
And now we've got, Aaron Rome, not exactly quaking in my...
When in Rome?
In my Pumas over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when in Rome.
When in Rome.
And I don't even know who the sixth defenseman is. I'm taking a guess here. No, it's not him. So I'm looking at these box scores here as I make you wait.
Dude.
To see who it is. Is it possible? I know it's not Jeff Tambellini.
You're right about
that. I know
that.
It's not Jeff Tambellini. I think I maybe have zeroed in on it here. I have Chris Tanev, an undrafted player, has played 28 games for the Canucks. Right. So if they're rolling out Chris Tanev and Aaron Rome in the bottom pairing come 2 weeks from now,
Andrew Albert's out. He's out too?
He's out too. They've got Alberts out. They've got Edler out. And they've got Hamhuis out.
That hurts, man.
That hurts.
That hurts a lot.
That hurts a lot. And if you look like right now, their lucky present for being the number one seed is the Chicago Blackhawks.
The team that's beaten them already 2 years running.
Gosh, dude. I don't know. I mean,
that's a toss-up.
That is a toss-up.
That might be a toss-up.
That's as awful a matchup as the Ducks were for us. When we were the one seed.
I agree. I agree with that.
It's a horrid matchup for Vancouver mentally.
Right.
And talent wise. Even, you know, Chicago's got their own injury problems, but I think Vancouver's extremely talented. And if they were completely healthy, there's no doubt that they would be the favorite in the West.
Big time.
But
with
no
that
Edler,
many defensemen
out? No Edler, no Hamhuis. And you're replacing him with two guys who, from my knowledge, are fairly questionable.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Looking a little vulnerable.
Yes.
A little vulnerable.
I think that's true.
Yes. So how about the Anaheim Ducks, dude? We're going to see Anaheim here on Saturday night. Why are the Ducks playing so well when we thought they were so funny a couple weeks ago?
I mean, Corey Perry's been just absolutely red hot. That top line has been red hot. He's got 89 points, 46 goals. The guy is on fire.
Yeah, there's MVP talk here.
I think that's legitimate. I mean, he's got 100 penalty minutes, 46 goals, 43 assists for 89 points, and he's a plus player. I mean, what can you do? I mean, that's MVP numbers in this day and age. I mean, 46 goals, I remember, you know, right before the lockout, that would lead the league in goals. This guy is, as much as we hate Corey Perry and we dislike him, he's definitely...
And we do.
Oh, we do. Definitely thoroughly and forever in the category of a guy that you hate on the other team, but a guy that you would love on your team. And he has been a workhorse because, I mean, look at Ryan Getzlaf. He's only got 18 goals, although still 69 points because he's the assist man. And Teemu Selanne, the inevitable Teemu Selanne, with another almost 30-goal season, he could easily hit 30. He's got 28 right now. So, and Bobby Ryan's got 33 goals. So you talk about their top four, basically their top four forwards have carried this team completely. And Lubomir Vyshnovsky is a guy that spent most of his career on the West Coast and I think has been slighted. He's a very good defenseman. He was excellent when he was with the Kings, traded to the Edmonton Oilers, you know, languished in anonymity there, except of course for the rabid local fan base, but nobody else would really care because Edmonton was terrible. And now again, he's on the West Coast where no one really notices, but Lubomir Vyshnovsky's got 16 goals and 48 assists, 64 points as a defenseman. Those are amazing. I mean, that's Dustin Byfuglien territory here. And Dustin Byfuglien, you know, doesn't play any PK time. And I know Lubomir Vyshnovsky does because I looked up the numbers today. So
yeah, he's having a great year.
He's having a really good year. So the thing with the Ducks are they're awesome at the top and they quickly and precipitously tail off as you get past the first line.
Right.
Once you get past Tamu,
you mean you're not afraid of Brandon McMillan?
No, I am not.
Who we saw only last year in the ECHL.
Right. And Jason Blake's got less than 30 points. It's like, yeah. Thanks very much. Joffrey Leupold.
Dan Sexton. Out.
Dan Sexton's got 13 points. Lucas Sabisa has got 10 points, minus 13 as a defenseman.
Yeah, just not.
I mean, once you get past those four guys,
right.
There's not a lot left.
Right. The other thing, too, that will be really interesting to see on Saturday night is how physical the Sharks were with the Stars tonight.
Yeah.
On paper, and I have seen the Ducks in person in a while. On paper, the Ducks are not physical at all. You look at their blue line.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, Ryan and Getzlaff are very physical, and so is Corey Perry.
Right.
But beyond those three guys, there's not a lot going on. I mean, are you afraid of Lucas Spisa or...
No.
I mean, do you think Douglas Murray is going to be sitting in the locker room going, gosh, what am I going to happen if I go toe-to-toe with Tony Lidman?
Exactly.
This is not the
2008 Anaheim Ducks.
This is a different situation here.
Right.
A little bit more finesse and less power. So I'm anxious for Saturday night, and I sure hope the Sharks didn't, you know, leave everything out there tonight.
We're going to see Emery, aren't we?
And don't have anything for the Ducks. Yeah, I mean, read today.
Emery's 6-0 for the Ducks.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, he's on fire. He's
absolutely on
fire. The 1.90 goals allowed. I mean, he's playing great. They're on a roll. They're certainly going to come in and be confident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hiller basically is done.
I think
I think he's done. He looked awful in the 10 minutes he played last week. And, you know, Ray Emery and Dan Ellis, I think, are going to be the guys who are going to play for them in the playoffs. So a possible first round matchup, dude.
Yeah.
And a pretty important game, I think, for the Sharks to win at home.
Right.
Got to beat the Ducks. The season series is tied 2-2. Each team has won on the road and at home.
Okay.
So we got two games left, dude. We shall see what happens.
I'm interested to see Emery because with Hiller out, my gut feeling says, okay, that's a matchup that I like for the Sharks. If Emery stays monster hot, then maybe I might be a little uneasy about it, but I still like the matchup. So it'd be interesting to see how Emery plays on Saturday night at the Tank against a hostile crowd. So
right now, without seeing the Ducks, if I had to ask you, Anaheim or L.A. without Kopitar and Justin Williams, who would you rather play? It's hard. I don't believe in the Ducks either. You're going to say Ducks. It's hard.
I would rather not play the Kings. I don't want to see Doughty and Jack Johnson every night. And I'm just... And Ryan Smith. I don't want to see those guys every night. Jonathan Quick's been a good goaltender for them. I can't fully believe in Ray Emery yet. I do not want to see the Kings even without Kopitar. Maybe I'm just snake bit, but the Kings match up well against the Sharks, right? We just talked about this. They match up well against the Sharks, and right now I like the Ducks. I like the Ducks in the Sharks crossfire.
You're a
better
numbers guy.
Yeah.
73 and 57.
Okay. Two numbers, got it.
Those are the amount of points that they don't have without Kopitar and Justin Williams.
Wow.
Those are their two top scorers.
Okay.
They're gone, dude. They're gone. They're out.
You're making a good... Okay, how many points does Smith have then?
45.
Okay.
He's too busy crying. Dude,
yeah.
LA.
All right. It
might be a gritty series, but...
They're missing a lot of firepower.
They are missing their two best players, the two best forwards. I would much rather see them than see the Ducks at this point. Now, I may change my mind after seeing Anaheim on Saturday, but I'm definitely looking forward to that game, dude.
All right.
Sure.
Well, we want to hear from you. Let us know. What's the better matchup for the Sharks here? Now that Kopitar's out, are the Kings a better matchup, or the decimated defensive Ducks are and a backup goalie, are they a better matchup for the Sharks?
Do we agree that Chicago is the worst?
Oh, absolutely.
So,
without question.
Then we've got the Predators. Yeah. And I don't think you can discount that Phoenix, it's possible, they could free fall down out of the four. You know, you've got Nashville and LA both with 94 points. You've got Phoenix with 95. Phoenix.
I mean, if we beat Phoenix twice and the other teams win,
they could end up being the seven.
Yeah,
or even the eight.
And we've talked about how we match up pretty well against Phoenix.
Right,
we beat them every time this year, so we don't mind that too much.
So right now, Hockey Santa, we're asking for Nashville,
right,
or Phoenix.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. That's fair.
Let's go to the emails. Questions at dudesonhockey.com. We got a first-time emailer. Pete emails us.
Pete.
Asking us about Chichu. Yeah.
You know what time it is. It's Chichu Watch 2010.
Seriously?
So, Chichu Watch. Pete has been following Sharks' page to see how Chichu's comeback is doing. They haven't mentioned him in a while, nor did I see him on the roster the last few games, which had me wondering if the Sharks dropped his tryout contract. Quick Google search had me find a really nice article on Chichu in the New York Times. If you want to Google that, you can read a nice article about Chichu's comeback, his sort of fall from grace, and now him trying to get back to the big dance. Pete, I believe he was offered a minor league contract this year from the Worcester Sharks after his tryout contracts had expired. But right now, he's hurt. He got hurt late in February and has missed every game since. So I, as you do, read Sharks page religiously. And I didn't see a lot of detail about Chichu's injury. I don't know exactly what it is. So one place I said back, but that might have been USA Today, and I'm not sure how reliable that is, but he has he's not played in a while, so I'm not sure. I haven't found anything about when he's expected to return, but he was voted their best offensive player of the year by the Worcester Sharks, which just released their sort of awards this year, with Justin Braun being their best defenseman. So
Not saying a whole lot.
Well, yeah, the Worcester Sharks aren't very good, but
they also we sort of raided their cupboard for most of the year. I mean,
yeah,
we had Ben Ferriero coming back and forth, Jamie McGinn. You know, those two guys, if they had been down there the whole time, you know, they would have surpassed.
And obviously, Logan Couture is no longer leading the team in points as he did for the Worcester Sharks last year. So, but Chichu is still very much around, although he's not playing; he's injured, and we wish him a speedy recovery. And as you do, Pete, we wish him a return to the NHL in some form.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's a pretty big wish.
Yeah,
that's almost a make-a-wish at this point.
Dude, he's leading the AHL team in points. It's not out of the question. Dude. He's not Eric Boganicki. Yeah. How do you like that? Eric Boganicki. All right.
I think Cheech is a class guy, but 47 points for a guy who...
But how many games? I mean, he missed a lot of games.
Yeah, has he missed that many games, dude? I've got the numbers right here, dude.
Do you know?
I do.
Do you know?
No, I don't.
No, you do not, because you haven't said what the numbers are yet. All right. Let's go back to Andy, who is now officially... Andy has a nickname now.
He does?
You know what his nickname is?
The governor, is it?
Andy is the governor.
The governor.
He's officially the governor.
55 games for Chichu, by the way. So actually, that's not that bad.
That's not bad.
No.
Okay. So Andy, the governor, says, at the start of the season, you guys were saying that you weren't quite into it this year for some reason, whether it was the Giants effect, the disappointment of last year, or the indifferent start. So where are you at now? With the Giants' success of distant memory, the recent winning streaks, and the good trades that didn't even need to resort to craziness, are you now fully back in the zone? I have an answer for this. Are you back in the zone?
Yes.
I am definitely back in the zone. I am definitely back in the zone. The what was the Alan Greenspan phrase? The excessive exuberance. What was the term? But the exuberance is back for me. I'm ready. I'm ready for the playoffs.
We're beaming right now.
I'm excited again. I'm excited for the playoffs again. I like what the Sharks have done. I like how they turned the season around. I like how they, and this sort of feeds into Andy's second question, or excuse me, the governor's second question. But yeah, I mean, they met some real adversity here in the first part of the season, and they had a terrible streak in January, and they just snapped it off and went on a monster run. And I think that shows a lot of poise for them, a lot of character. I think that they, I'd like to believe that they sort of understand what it's all about now, or they have a better idea. Some of those guys may have a better idea. So yeah, I am definitely back. I am full on as enthusiastic as I've ever been about the playoff run.
We were seeing, well, we are seeing some of our favorite players have subpar statistical years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the team was struggling and they were in 11th place and, you know, not really, you know, they were blowing third period leads regularly,
right,
and not competing, you know, at the highest level as we expected, it was easy for us to check out, look at those numbers and go, gosh, you know,
yeah,
this is, trade Seto, trade Heatley, you know, Niemi sucks. Remember right. when Niemi sucked?
Yeah. Right. Remember that? Remember those days where he was an average goaltender?
Yes. And I think...
That crow tastes good.
We tried to say to ourselves, hang in there. It doesn't matter what's happening right now. It matters what's happening as we're sitting here,
mm-hmm.
as they're about to go into the playoffs. So, it's back.
It's definitely back.
The mojo's back. It's free flowing.
Absolutely.
But let me be clear here. I have not forgotten about the World Series.
Nor will
I ever.
Of course not. Of course not.
Did you hear what happened today that a Giants fan paid an airplane to fly over Dodger Stadium with a banner that said Giants won the World Series and Dodgers still suck?
That's money well spent.
Yeah. How great is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
I wish I could have seen that.
But because it was in the second inning, nobody at Dodger Stadium saw because nobody was there.
Nicely played, dude.
Thanks, dude. Okay, question number two. Although I hate to trot out the usual cliches, I truly believe the struggles in the first half of the season have been beneficial and have made the Sharks a stronger team. However, because they have played so well with that division title and second place in the West are now within reach. Whoa. Are they liable to think the job is done and lapse back mentally just at the wrong time of year? Cool.
What was that?
I'm getting like phantom button presses. It's pretty sweet.
What else you got in there, dude?
I got, let's see what I got.
Well, do it live! Fuck it! Yeah. Do it live!
We got, are they gonna lapse back mentally just at this time of year? That doesn't really work.
That's neat. You're controlling the sounds from your phone.
Yeah. I have an app on my... They have an app for that.
You do?
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just going to press a mystery sound here. I don't even know what it is. And we're going to find out what happens. Tom McClellan sound.
All right. But we digress. Anyway. So do you think the struggles have made the Sharks stronger, dude? Was it truly a good thing that they kind of sucked, frankly, at the beginning of the year?
We'll know in June.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we'll know the answer to that yet.
Right. We've tried every other damn thing, seems like. We've tried to be an awesome
Why not year. Approach it this way?
We've tried to be an awesome
you
all
know,
year.
Why not approach out. It this way? You know, we've seen it a few different ways. Gosh, you know, 2 years ago, they got the number one seed and left. You know, last year, they looked strong. We beat our nemesis, Detroit, bowed out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year, started cold, ending hot.
We'll see.
Hopefully. We'll yeah. see. You know, is this the formula? We won't know.
Yeah.
Hard to know. Is this working against them, dude?
I can't see it working against them. I mean, the thing is that it's nice to... We saw the Ducks go red hot into the playoffs in 2008 and beat the Sharks in the first round. So the fact that the Sharks didn't have... The Sharks are not coasting by any means. It's not like they're coasting into the number two seed and they're coasting into the division title. I mean, Phoenix is still very much in striking distance. Detroit is only 1 point back. This isn't stable position for the Sharks by any means.
No, they could have taken a night off like Detroit did against St. Louis.
Yeah, oh, 10-3 last night.
I mean, Dallas had way more to play for tonight.
Absolutely.
I mean, they had way more to play for, and we didn't just beat them. We pasted them.
Mm-hmm.
So... You hope the Sharks are going to have that compete level against Saturday.
And there's no meaningless games. You know, the maybe winning the President's Trophy or not a couple years back was, you know, it was for the trophy, but in terms of the playoff seeding, the Sharks had it pretty well wrapped up at the number one. That is not nearly the case this year.
And they could see any of these teams
right
in the first round, any of them. You know, these are potential first round matchups. So you want to give your date a little pre-prom kiss, if you know what I mean, and say, hey, if we're going to dance, it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, give the corsage a little early. All right, dude, I think we're running out of time, but is there anything else that you want to cover before we wrap it up for this week?
I would like to say one thing, dude.
Yep.
That Seto just tweeted this.
Okay.
Unreal game by all the boys. Ben Eager making me puke on the bench. That was so sick.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Nice.
The image of Seto vomiting while Ben Eager scored his goal. I'm sure that did not happen, but. The image of it, can you imagine that he was so excited by the goal that he projectiled?
He's like, yeah.
Exactly. And then Steve Ott's right there. And
right.
That's a graphic image, dude.
It is.
So thank you, Seto, for the graphic tweet.
Certainly something to remember the game by. All right. We'll be back again next week. Same time, same place. Thanks
same
for listening.
Same time?
Oh, well, no. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming next week, I would think.
You think?
I believe so, dude.
Okay.
But you'll just have to tune in and find out.
I will. I will tune in.
You do that.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.